Good to see you here. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to be talking about prayer. But I want you to think. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He was carried to the temple. When they got to the temple, Simeon met him. Simeon apparently was just a man alone, but God had been preparing him to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so he met him, met the Messiah, blessed him, and he said, "Now I can rest in peace." Not the exact quotation, but that's a start in that direction. He said, "I can rest in peace, for mine eyes have seen the Messiah." Then there was a lady who was alone, but she had not always been alone. Her name was Anna, A-N-N-A. She was a widow of 84 years at least. I've tried to figure out the thing, but she met Jesus. She met the Messiah, and she began to praise the Lord. No one had told her who he was. No one had told Simeon who she was, except the Holy Spirit. He had identified them. And these people who were alone had been prepared by God for a very special purpose of welcoming the Messiah. Some of us in this room this morning are alone. Widows, widowers, those who have never married, and those folks that are alone, God has a very special purpose for them and uses them in some very special ways. Many of those people in this room that are alone and have never had a mate, they're people of prayer. They mean business with God. I think of Bethany. What a wonderful place. A week ago, Sunday night, I believe was correct, we had a missionary here, do not remember his name, but he had never been here, though he had known of Bethany for decades. And he said, "I know about you and I know what you are." And he knew so much about us that he praised us. And what he was praising us for, that Bethany is a missions church, dedicated to missions, thousands of dollars given every year to missionaries. But there's something I think about Bethany that I believe is probably even a greater influence than the money that we give to missions, and that this is a church of prayer. Wednesday night, we have a time dedicated. It is actually a prayer meeting time. A lot of churches quit calling it Wednesday night service a prayer meeting time. It's a Bible study time. And they study the Bible. We study the Bible, but we have prayer meeting. We talk to God. That phrase, we talk to God, I use it often, as you know, but it came from Art Linkletter. As an old man, I knew Art Linkletter almost personally, I felt like, because I saw him almost every week, and he'd interview kids, and kids would say funny things, and I would laugh and had such a good time. But he made this statement in one of his programs. He said, "I never ask my kids, did you pray?" He said, "I asked my children, did you talk to God?" And a lot of folks miss that. Prayer is a ritual. It's not a conversation with God. And that's where I learned to use that statement from Art Linkletter. Let's talk to God. And that's what we want to do when we pray. Many of you know this, but all of these staff members that we have, they have a prayer chain. When someone in this congregation has needs, the prayer chain hits it. All of the staff members stop and pray for the people that have needs at that very moment. This place is a place of prayer. And I think that probably that may be more significant than the fact that we're a missions-minded church. Wonderful thing to know the Lord. A wonderful thing to be able to talk to God. You've got Daniel chapter 6 open. Would you stand with me, please, out of respect for God's word? Daniel has just been appointed the president of presidents in the kingdom of the Medes. The other two presidents were jealous and did not like Daniel having the position of final authority under the king. And they said, we've got to get rid of him. And they schemed together and got the king to sign a decree that no one could pray to any god, could petition any god for the next 30 days except King Darius. He signed it, and as soon as they could, before the ink could dry, they began to look at Daniel. Let's read, please. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error nor fault found in him. Then said one of these men, we cannot find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Look at me a minute. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if it was said about us? That there's no fault, except he is just such a godly man that the only thing we're going to see wrong with is the fact that he's serious about his God. And that's what it amounted to. Look at verse 6. Then the presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now, class, look at me. He knew that what he was going to do would break that new law and that he would go to the den of lions. But look at what he did. Verse 10, Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any man, any god or man, within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. He doesn't care what you've signed. He doesn't care about your laws, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He didn't blame the princes, the presidents, the counselors, the officers. He took responsibility himself. He was displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these kings assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Let's talk to God again. Father, we need you. We're so thankful for your presence. And God, there are some of the folks that are part of our Sunday school class that have very special needs today. Father, we pray for John and Sammy Dotson. And Father, we thank you for your purpose. And it seems to us, from what the doctors say, that our sister Sammy is not going to be with us very much longer. She's going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord in heaven. And God, I'm praying that John and Sammy and that whole family, all of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, would just be able to look to you for grace, for might, for power. And God, we pray today for our brother Wayne Pickett. God, we thank you that he's making some progress. And God, we thank you for that young man that's in the room with him, that he has such an appetite for the things of God. And God, we love you and thank you that you're faithful, you're gentle, you're easy to be entreated. And God, we entreat you to bless the Picketts, Ruth and Wayne, that God, they just simply be aware of your presence working in their lives for good in this special time. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Soon after Wayne wound up being in a nursing home, Ruth called me and said, I've been witnessing to Wayne's roommate. And she said, I went through the plan of salvation and he prayed, but I'm not sure I touched all the bases. Would you go see him? I got to see him. I questioned him, went through touched all the bases. And he got saved when she was dealing with him. And he had it sure and he knew it fine. Yesterday I was there. The Picketts were, I think, eating a meal in the lunch area. And the fellow, I said, can I pray for you? Yes. And after I prayed for him, he said, can I ask you a question? And he began to ask me questions. And every question was a suitable, good question. And he said, now, when I die, is there going to be a lapse of time before I go to heaven? He said, I've been told you have to be at judgment, face judgment and all these things before you go to heaven. And I was able to quote that scripture, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, and show and let him look at it while I quoted it. And he got it settled. But he had questions yesterday. He had questions every time I went in there. He had asked me good questions. He's got a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. Thank God for Wayne being in that room that opened the door for him to come to know Christ as his Savior. You know, everything that happens to us, God uses for good to make us to be like Jesus. As you look at Daniel 6, look at verse 10 again, you're going to find that this passage of Scripture is patterned after a prayer that King Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. Look, if you would, at verse 10. Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went into his house, and the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now, class, note that it's toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. King Solomon, when he dedicates the temple, he's raised up on a huge scaffold. He gets on his knees before God. He holds his hands up and he begins to pray. And he doesn't pray just, God bless the meat and the food and give us a good day. He prayed an extensive prayer. And he said, God, if the children of Israel are taken captive and carried to another land, God, when they get there, if they will pray toward this city, toward this temple where you've placed your name, will you answer that prayer? What does Daniel do? He opens a window toward Jerusalem. He kneels upon his knees before that open window. And he begins to pray. And he gives thanks. He does exactly what Solomon had said the children of Israel would do when they get in a foreign country. They're captives there. They'll pray toward this city, toward this temple. And he repeats it several times in 1 Kings chapter 8. He said that they will pray to you and pray toward this place where your name is. And that's exactly what Daniel has done. He has followed the example that Solomon had prayed to God. Look, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. I don't know how long Solomon was on his knees, but it was a considerable time. And he prayed, and he gave thanks, as he did aforetime. God used Solomon to set the standard. And Daniel followed that pattern. Let me ask you, do you have a pattern? Do you have a time of day that you pray and seek the face of God? If not, let me urge you to have a time early in the morning. David, and later another man of God, they prayed, God, that you will hear my voice early in the morning. And I would suggest that maybe before breakfast or real close to that time, that you would have a place that you get alone, like Jesus said. You shut the door. You pray to your Father which seeth in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. I would suggest that you might even fall upon your face before God. You read the book of Revelation. As you read through that book, there are several times that people worshiped God by falling on their face before him. There were those who were not God, and someone fell upon their face. They said, get up, I'm not God. You fall before God, but not before me. But you and I, when we bow our face to the floor, to the ground, and we pray to God, we're obeying the example that is here. He opened the windows. He prayed toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. I do not see him worshiping, but he was kneeling before God. And he gave thanks. What do you thank God for? Everything. Thank God for those who are trying to destroy him. Thank God for those who hate him. In everything, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Several months ago, years ago, I've told you about a man that got saved at Trust Point. He knew that he was saved, and I asked him to do something very, very hard. And he said, that is hard. And I said, would you thank God for your wheelchair? Would you thank God for his purpose in the accident that put you in the wheelchair? And he said, that's hard, that's hard, that's hard. And finally he prayed, thanking God for the wheelchair, thanking God for the accident that brought the wheelchair. The next day as I walked in Trust Point, he was off at the side, outside, and he hollered and said, come here, come here, come here. I walked to him and said, it made a difference. He said, since I've thanked God for his purpose, I've had a peace that I've not had in the last 4 years. When you and I just simply take that very simple, obedient step of thanking God for each problem, each blessing, each person that has hurt us. Yesterday was almost the same thing. A patient, sick nigh unto death, dealing with a group of men that are just depraved people. She first had fear as she dealt with them. She knew what it was to be hurt by them. She knew what it was to have someone walk away and abandon her as a wife. And I asked her, would you thank God for your husband abandoning you? And would you thank God for this sickness that brought you nigh unto death? She said, I've done it. And she testified to a change being made by just thanking God. And here's Daniel on his knees, and he prays and he thanks God. I think of our New Testament. Writers of these epistles, listen to their needs. I'm going to read to you, please, Romans 15. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul as he requests prayer. He says, now I beseech you, this is Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. I'm asking this prayer for Jesus' sake. I'm asking this prayer because of the love of the Spirit, that the way He's dealt with me. And then He said, that you should, here's what I'm asking you to do, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here is a man of God. He's asking, said, would you go to the mat for me? Would you strive with me in prayer? Would you pray on my behalf? Friend, let me say to you today, many times in the New Testament epistles, the request is made that you pray, this may be the strongest, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me. You pray for me, but you do it striving, fighting the battle. The battle takes place at the throne of grace. Listen to another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, the problems were so great that I thought we were going to die. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Listen to this next statement. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He said, you have helped me. This is another cry of help. I needed you, and you helped me by your prayer together for us. When we gather together on Wednesday night for prayer time, prayer meeting, some of the requests that are made on Wednesday night are a cry for help just as realistically as these Bible writers. Help! You helping us together by prayer. We needed your help. Here's another. 1 Thessalonians 5. One that you probably know by memory, but boy, it's a good one. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't give up. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. When you and I do not rejoice, when you and I cease praying, when we do not give thanks for everything, we are quenching, we are smothering the Spirit of God that works in our lives. But He's praying and He's asking us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. No, excuse, I just read that 24. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Brethren, pray for us. What a cry. Pray that the word of God that we preach will have free course, that the word of God will be glorified, even as it is with you. You glorify the word of God. You give the Holy Spirit free course, and you pray that we will have that same experience where we are. Would you pray for us? I think of these special commands. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. In the New Testament, you find the one another commandments. And this one is pray for us. Confess your faults. Pray. Pray to the Lord. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Galatians 6:2. Listen, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is his law? Brethren, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you love one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. John 15:12, love you one another. Prayer is not a gift that God gives, but it is a discipline that one learns. Listen to Jesus. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus' example. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man works. It's the day. We're to pray one for another that we might be healed. I think of Daniel. Opens the window, knowing that the lion's den is next. Kneels upon his knees, knowing that the lion's den is next. He gives thanks, and he prays to God. Setting us an example that we should follow in his steps. Do you have a time every day to prayer? Do you have a pattern to your prayer? Listen, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts, praise, praising God, thanking God, seeking God's face, praying to the Lord God. And into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Do you have a pattern? Psalm 90, maybe Psalm 100. My mind went blank, sorry. I'll wait a minute. Sometimes it comes back. Not all the time, sometimes. Let's read it. Psalm 100, please. While we're preparing to read it, let me just remind you that you can also sing it. I don't know whether you've learned to see it yet, but you could. Look, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, I want to ask you, how much time in your prayer time do you use singing to God? Yesterday, Brother David, one of our other men, I cannot remember his name, were in Sammy's hospital room when I got there. We gathered around the bed and we sung to her. And she sung, I think I saw her lips moving a little bit. I called it singing. Here's what we sung. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Sing to the Lord. Enter into his gates with, into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. In your prayer closet alone, no one there but you and God, sing to him. You're in his presence. Recognize his presence by singing to him. One last. Turn back. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his name are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you have a plan when you're alone with God to bring your burdens and cast them upon the Lord? And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Just bring them and lay them upon him and trust him to do what you have no power to do. We can help Bethany Baptist Church be even a more fruitful church by being a church that every member prays. Father, would you remind us that your eyes are upon us? Would you remind us that your ears are open unto our cry? Would you remind us that, Lord,